Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. Have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. There's a lot of talk about God today. In fact, some people think we are in a time of religious revival. No doubt you've seen some news stories on that. Our latest edition of the Trumpet magazine talks a fair bit about that as well. You can get a free subscription at thetrumpet.com. But how many specifics about God do people even know? People talk about God, but how many specifics do we know about God? What is the nature of God? Well, we can let the Bible answer this question, and hopefully, as we study this, God will become more real to us. We have a few passages today. If you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out, and we can look at these together. Let's start in John 4. We'll notice some very basic scriptures about God, but again, it's important that we understand the nature of God. John 4 and verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Pretty basic statement there. God is a spirit. That's what he's made out of. God the Father and Jesus Christ are both spirit beings, are made out of spirit. Very different from man. Notice Genesis 2. And we'll compare God to man here a little bit, just in terms of, you know, some of the real basics. But it's important for us to understand the difference between ourselves and God. And again, hopefully we'll get a better understanding of who God is and the way that we should conduct ourselves in relation to him. Genesis 2 and verse 7, it says, and the eternal God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we're made out of the dust of the ground. God is spirit, but we're made out of dust, out of dirt. And when we consider the huge difference between those two, we really should be humble. We should realize that being made out of dust, you know, we're really nothing. And we get hungry, we get thirsty, we get tired. Eventually we die. But God is eternal. He doesn't have any of those issues. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get hungry. He doesn't get thirsty. He doesn't need those, you know, physical things like we do. He lives forever. He lives forever. So God is superior to humans in every way. And again, this should cause us to have a proper respect for God and his word. He knows better than we do. You know, you think about just a human being that's lived a long time. A lot of times they have, you know, a pretty good understanding of some basic things because they've seen a lot. And they have a certain wisdom, hopefully, if they've been learning throughout their lives. But we live such a short time, and God's lived forever. Just think about how much he knows, how much he understands, how much he's seen. And it should give us some perspective when we think about ourselves and then we think about God. We need to go to him and really understand, you know, what his will is, what he wants to do, because he sees everything and we don't see things the way that we need to. We need God to show us. We should have a proper respect for God and his word. He knows better than we do. And Jesus Christ, who was the God of the Old Testament, he came to this earth as a flesh and blood human being. Notice this in John 17. John 17 in verse 5. It says, and now, O Father, this is again Jesus Christ when he was a human being and he was getting close to the end of his physical life. He was about to be sacrificed for mankind and give himself, offer himself as that perfect sacrifice. But he's praying to his Father. He says, and now, O Father, glorify you me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus Christ was resurrected and now is glorified again. He is spirit. God the Father and Jesus Christ have glory that existed before they created the physical universe or earth or mankind. And Jesus Christ was talking about that. He was praying about that to his Father here in John 17. And now, O Father, glorify you me with your own self with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Now, we might think at times that we have some insight or some understanding, but what do we know in comparison to God? God the Father and the Word who became Jesus Christ, you know, the experience they have, the knowledge they have, the power they have, what do we know in comparison to God? We don't know anything. Humanly, we don't know anything. You know, there may be some physical knowledge we can learn and observe, but it's not very much. We desperately need to study and apply God's Word because there's truth in there that we don't understand without God showing us. We couldn't come to that understanding. We have to study and apply God's Word. God has lived for eternity. That's forever, forwards and backwards. And it's something that the human mind just really can't grasp. Living forever, but that's what God has done. He's eternal. And so the Bible gives us more insight into the nature of God. You know, He's spirit, as we've seen. Lived forever. He's eternal. Now, we can understand what He even looks like. And that's revealed in Revelation 1. Revelation 1, let's look at verses 13 through 16. You know, it's important to understand what God looks like as well. And again, this should help us to really get a picture in our mind of what God's like, His nature. We should see ourselves in comparison to Him, how great He is and how we're so temporary. It should give us a good respect for God and for His Word. But again, notice what He looks like. Revelation 1, we'll read verses 13 through 16. Verse 13, it says, "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man." This is talking about the glorified Jesus Christ. That's what we're getting a description of here. "He's clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle." Verse 14, "His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength." Again, that's the glorified Jesus Christ that we're getting a description of. This is what God the Father and Jesus Christ look like. And there's so many details there. You know, the feet, hair, eyes, hands. That's, of course, what humans look like. A voice. You know, God created mankind to resemble Him in appearance and ultimately character. But God created us to look like Him. Only, obviously, God is in a much more powerful and glorified state than a human being is. And we get an incredible picture there when we read Revelation 1, verses 13 through 16. When we're talking about God, in this case, if we're specifically talking about Jesus Christ, that's what He looks like today. That's the description and the picture there in Revelation 1. It's a powerful being. And there are, you know, again, certain ideas about Jesus Christ and what He looks like or what He looked like as a human and so forth. And all of it's designed to make Him look pretty weak and not have a lot of strength and not have a lot of power. But look at the glorified Jesus Christ. Look at what He's like. I mean, do people think about Jesus Christ this way? Do they think about God the Father this way with this kind of power? A face that shines like the sun in its full strength, and eyes that there's like flames of fire. A voice like the sound of many waters. You know, if you've ever been to a big waterfall, Niagara Falls or something like that, there's a real powerful sound to that. I mean, this is just a description of it. It's the best that it could be described. But that's the type of power that God the Father and Jesus Christ have. And again, God created mankind to resemble Him in appearance. But ultimately, character, that's what God's after, that we develop His character. You know, the power of God the Father and Jesus Christ is so great that they shine as a sun in full strength. And we can't even look at that. It's so powerful. Notice this quote. This is from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This is Lesson 8. It's a free correspondence course, and you can sign up for it at thetrumpet.com if you haven't already. It says, notice another great difference between God and man. What is God's characteristic attitude and general makeup? We've looked a little bit at, you know, the way God looks, but what about his attitude? What does he think about? How does he think? Let's notice a few scriptures. Notice Psalm 99 and verse 9. Psalm 99 and verse 9, it says, exalt the eternal, our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the eternal, our God, is holy. God is holy, right? Man is not. Man wants to think of himself as good. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, though, says the heart of man is desperately wicked, deceitful, but God's holy. See, not only is there a difference between man and God in terms of power, but attitude, mindset, way of life. There's a difference. God is holy. Man is not holy. Notice 1 Samuel 2 and verse 2. Another scripture talking about the way God is. It says, there is none holy as the eternal, for there is none beside you, neither is there any rock like our God. So we need to really stop and think about this. God is holy. God is holy. We shouldn't do our own things or come up with our own ideas when we understand that only God is holy. His word shows us how to live, what to do. We need to really understand that. You know, it's easy to accept the fact that God is holy and just sort of say that. But does that understanding influence our lives to where we follow God's word? I mean, God is holy. We just read that. We know man's not. So we don't want to be doing our own thing. We want to be following the word of God because God's holy. Now let's notice God's holiness in comparison to man. Romans 3. Let's notice a passage here. Romans 3, verses 10 through 18. And it's interesting, before we read the scripture, you just think about this idea of a religious revival that's going on, especially in America. But how many people are really talking about the power of God and what God is like and the fact that God's holy and man is not holy? How many people are really stopping and saying, you know, I need to worship God the way that he says to do it? I need to look into his word and follow what he says, not just come up with my own ideas. Well, there's not too many, but we need to really stop and consider the way God is and the way we are and how we need to make sure we're following God and understand the power that he has. Notice Romans 3, verses 10 through 18. A little bit of a longer passage here, but important to read. Verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So when it comes to mankind, look, there's nobody that's righteous. Now God wants us to begin to follow him, and then if we're living that way, we can become like God is. But on our own, with our own ideas, our own thoughts, or our own concepts, there is none righteous, not one. Verse 11, it says, there is none that understands. There is none that seeks God. Really? In this world, when there's so many religions, there's none that seeks after God? Well, that's what Paul said. And of course, if you read John 6 and verse 44, it says that the Father has to call people. He has to pick a few and call them and begin to open their minds up to his truth. Verse 12, it says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is just describing the way that mankind is apart from God. If we just kind of go our own way and come up with our own thinking, this is man. This is what man is. Cursing and bitterness, feet that are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery, no peace. And all of it's because people don't really fear God. They don't really think about God. They might say his name, but they don't think about the God that we read about there that's described in Revelation 1 with that kind of power. They don't think about how righteous God is and how unrighteous man is. But those are things we need to think about and understand. Again, from Lesson 8 of the Correspondence Course, it says, the meaning of the word holy involves pureness of heart or freedom from sin. The two divine beings presently composing the God family, talking about God the Father and Jesus Christ, possess a holy or sinless attitude and nature. But God wants us to become like he is. We do look like God, and he wants us to take on his character. And that means we need to repent. We need to submit to God. We need to follow his word. And we need to use the power of God's Spirit when, of course, a person repents and is baptized. Notice this passage, though. This is a really great passage to read, 1 John 3. Let's look at this. Because when we consider how great God is, how powerful he is, how holy he is, how perfect he is, this is a really encouraging scripture. 1 John 3 and verse 2. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. This is talking about people that God has called and they've followed him and they're working with God and God's developing his character in them. Now we are the sons of God and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The glorified Jesus Christ that we read about there in Revelation 1, that's how we're going to look when we're born into the God family. We'll see him like he is. We're going to be like him, obviously in a lower level, but still part of that God family. You know, when we read about that power and that holiness, that's what God's offering to us if we'll obey him today. There's a lot more on these topics that can be found in Lesson 8 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Again, it's a free course, and if you don't have it, please sign up for it and really get to know God from the Bible, understand his power, understand his righteousness, understand what man is in relation to God, but also understand that God wants us to be part of his family as well. We just have to make sure we're seeking him and following his word. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.